You know, sometimes I think if I am not careful, I can take for granted what we have because it's so available to us. And I'll explain that in a minute. I'd like to go back to the verse that we used last week maybe. Psalms 40 and 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. You know, we can take for granted that we have been lifted out of the pit, so far out of the pit that we can keep from sliding back in it. We live today in a religious world that believes in being brought up out of a horrible pit. It's done when you tell Jesus, I am sorry, I repent of my sins, I want you to save me. But you know what? Instead of being up and out, a lot of times it's just up to slip back in again and see no chance of it being any different. We heard this morning in Sunday school about the Church of God. You know, real easy for the world to say when we talk about the Church of God, they will look at the sign over the door. You know what? If we're not careful, we will think about this is the Church of God. It's the sign over the door and all the people that go here. It is so much more than that. It is every person in the world who has been brought up out of the horrible pit, not just to be set down on the side of the slope that is so slippery and tomorrow I know I will slip back in it again, but it is every person, this is who is in the Church of God, every person that has been brought up out of that pit and moved a distance away from that pit, and their feet has been set upon a rock and their goings have been established. I am so thankful for that. That song came to my mind last night. We have much to praise God for. That he satisfied our longing. He forgave us of our sins. You know what? Most everybody in the religious world will tell Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Would you forgive me? That's necessary. But what is very valuable also is the belief, the conviction that I got to get on out of the miry clay, or I'm going to slide right back in it again, and it may be tomorrow. And if I get to where inside I say, I can't do it. I cannot live free from sin. Then I expect to be lifted up and slide right back in it again. The beauty of the Church of God is that person that has told the Lord, I'm sorry, and has allowed God to set him out to where he can establish his goings, put him on a rock and establish his goings. If I could put a title to this today, I would like to talk about this part, he established my going. That's what's real important, because if we don't let him establish my going, every one of us here will slide right back into the pit that we were hauled out of. It just come natural. But instead, I wanted to look at this part over here where it says, he set my feet on a rock. You know, that's solid there. That's getting a foundation that won't be shaken loose. And he established my goings. There's a song that we've sung before. When I started long ago to trust Jesus, I was searching for security. I needed something steady to hold to, and something that would hold to me. I'm going to keep holding on to Jesus, for no other friend so faithful could be. I'm going to keep holding on to Jesus, because I know he's holding on to me. You know, when we think of people, a person that gets lifted out of a horrible pit, you know, so often we think of drugs, alcohol, the real wicked lifestyles. But you know, Apostle Paul was lifted out of a horrible pit, and he was a religious man. In fact, we get to read some of the titles that he had, that he was lifted out of. It said he was a strict Pharisee. And you know, when we read about the Pharisees, they were people who said, I want to do the law exactly like it says. In fact, I'd like to be so careful about my life that I add to the law more than what it says. I'll be even more careful than what it says. Said he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. It was a respected man that knew about the law. If you could be a tutor, if he could be tutoring you, it was really something. And then it said concerning the law, he was blameless. He was doing everything. If the law said, do your sacrifice at this time, he did it. Everything that the law said, you could not find any, there was no blame in him. And then it said, it added one more attribute of his, persecuting the church. He did it well. He put everything into it. You know, we can be lifted out of more than sin of drugs and alcohol and those things. I'd like for us to look at a song, number 490A, because here's some things that I can be lifted out of. Number third verse, out of unrest. I can be lifted out of unrest and arrogant pride. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy blessed will to abide. Abide. Jesus, I come to thee. Now here's something else I can be lifted out of. Out of myself. Now that's quite a pit to be off in. You know, I'm thinking, okay, got out of this pit. It's drugs, it's alcohol. Well, I wasn't that bad. But you know, I can be in a slippery slope just in myself. Out of myself to dwell in thy love. Out of despair into raptures above. Upward for a on wings like a dove. Jesus, I come to thee. You know what? Just like Jesus came to Paul on the road to Damascus, the light that came down from heaven, and Paul had a question. Lord, what would you have me to do? And that's what we need to ask Jesus ourselves. I've been lifted out of the pit. He saved me. My life is clean. But you know what? I don't want to slip back in it again. I want him to set my feet on a rock and establish my going. And you know what? That happened with Paul. He established his going. In fact, if we look over at Paul's life, I'd like to go to Acts, the 20th chapter. We find how much it changed Paul. 20 and 22. Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth to me in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What a change that was made in him. He was lifted out, and he didn't slide back in a few weeks later. He took a different course, and he followed that all the way through his life to where at the end of it, he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. There's set up for me a crown, and it's not for me only, but everybody that loves his appearing has walked our life following in his footsteps, having our goings established by him throughout life, day by day. I'd like to go to a verse over in Isaiah. Isaiah 35 and the 8th verse. A highway shall be there and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. You know, we need to value holiness. This is the way. It'll be called the way of holiness. Unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. A highway shall be there. There's going to be moved from one type of person to another type of person. That is described over in Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1 and 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's a movement right there. I have been delivered from the power of darkness. I have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We need to remember, when we have been brought up and out, it was nothing that we were able to do in ourselves. It was all because of the blood of Christ. That is what gives us the forgiveness for our sins. Then back in Isaiah, it tells us there is a highway there. The unclean won't be able to travel on it. And over in Isaiah 57 and 14, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. The promise to establish my goings wasn't just to help me, but it's also to help all those who are walking along behind me. And I think of what this verse is saying. When I read the commentary about it, it was talking that Isaiah was letting the people know that had been in captivity for all those years, and now it's soon to change. They're going to be heading back, but the road's going to be difficult. So as you're going along, you do what you can to make it easier for those that come along behind you. You know what? I think that same thing is valuable for us. In our life, as I'm traveling along, let me toss out those things that would be a hindrance to me and would also be a hindrance to those that are following along behind me. That song that we sing, may those who come behind us find us faithful. May the road for them to be able to travel is easier, because I've tossed things out of my life as the Lord dealt with me, and they can follow that example and it's easier for them. It says, may the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. So it's important for us in preparing this way, preparing it for others to be able to follow. To do that, you know what? I have got to be steady. So we're talking about establishing my goings. So I would like for us to look over in Ephesians, the third chapter. There's some things that he wants to do for us. 3 and 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know what, if that happens to us, I'm no longer up against the bank of that miry clay that I can easily slip off into. But it says, 17th verse, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded. What did it say over there? He's going to set my feet on a rock, something that is stable. This also is stability. He would be, dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Love for God is the most important thing. Remember where it tells us God knew the value of it himself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, your strength. Be rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and know the love of Christ. That's what I want to be able to have. Because I tell you, as I start building my life on these things, it's moving me farther and farther away from that slippery slope to fall back in to that pit. And there's another verse in Ephesians 4 and 14. Because here is a danger for me when I don't have stability, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Tossed to and fro, someone come along and say, hey, let me tell you about this new way. You don't have to live that careful of a life. You can make heaven going this way. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. I've got my feet on the rock, and my goings have been established. That is what is so valuable for me. There's another verse over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. Because when my feet are on the rock, something should be happening that is different, that should be able to give me strength. 57th verse says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. You know, to where no matter what changes come in the future, there has been a lot of changes in the last 15 years in the church of people coming and going. People saying, I have found an easier way. You know, one thing that helps me, I've had some years now to watch it and see where it goes. And folks, my desire at the end of all this is I want to make heaven my home. And it says, not everyone in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter this kingdom. It's he that doeth the will of my Father. So I tell you, what I want to do is be doing the will of my Father. It says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. That's what's important for us today, to be able to get it right and be able to hold on to it. Matthew, the 7th chapter, still part of the Sermon on the Mount. And we have looked at this many, many times, we all have. Right at the end of the 7th chapter, tells us some things that they're going to happen in every one of our lives. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, 7th chapter, Matthew 24th verse. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and now we have a choice. Remember to the letters to the churches in Revelations, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. So this one says, who hears the sayings of mine? And this one is one that decides to do them. I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You notice in this, the rains descended and the floods came on both houses. They're going to come to all of us. Because I'm saved does not mean I'm going to bypass the floods that come and the storms that come. But here's what's nice about it. My goings have been established. My feet has been settled on the rock. I'm not carried about with every breeze that blows and tells me it's an easier way. You be able to follow that. This one says, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not because it was founded upon a rock. I would like for us to look at a song. In fact, I'd like for us to sing it. This is the value of that rock. Number 51. If we could sing it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So I was thinking of the value of being fastened to the rock. You know, in a building construction, there is a lot of money spent underground before the building ever gets started. There are piles that are driven down until they hit some rock, something stable to build that building off of. In our building that was built where I work, it was connected to an adjacent building. And in that building, it's been there for years and years, and my dentist office is in there. In fact, his wall is the same wall that we use for our building. On the other side is our fan rooms. And so he was telling me, he said, you know what, I was here when the old buildings were torn down. I was here when they started to build this building. He said they had pile drivers just outside my wall, driving piles down into the ground to get to rock. He said it was so noisy that we complained to them about it. And so they came in and he said they mounted a seismograph on the wall in my office so that they could monitor, was it really as bad as what we're saying? He said they went back out there and they started driving piles again. He said it hit so hard that the seismograph fell off the wall. They couldn't record it. It was on the ground. But that's what it took. You know what? They're going to keep on driving until it is solid. You know what? For us to not fall back off into the miry clay that God has got us out of, it's going to have to be that we set our feet on a rock. And you know what? Sometimes we can start getting off the rock a little bit ourselves. Maybe it doesn't even have to be about sin. It can be about troubles that are happening in my life. And I'm going to fix on myself. And you know, we can lose our peace. We can lose our joy. And then we have to, let's go to Psalms. There are some things we can do to repair it, though. Psalm 61. Got some trouble here. Psalm 61 and 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know what? If we can realize when we start getting anxiety, when I'm troubled about the future, even the things that are happening in the world around us today, when I start getting troubled, if I can just realize, wait a minute, I need to establish my goings more. That doesn't just happen one time when I get saved. It is about me going back to the source and saying, I will need you to establish my goings. I'm starting to get overly concerned about the things that are happening. And I want to tell you, I mentioned it earlier, I have found something that is helping me to stay on the rock. And that is, stay off the news. It has caused me trouble more than it should, maybe. Maybe I should just hear it and it just goes in one ear and out the other. But it doesn't. I can think about it. Here's the direction our world is going. Tomorrow, it's got even worse. It's worse now. Since Monarch time, I turned it off. And you know what? It's pretty pleasant just listening to the Lord only. I don't know what taxes they'll tell me if I have to pay more taxes for some foolish thing they're doing. But I don't have to think about it in all that time between now and then. I can commit those things because I tell you, if you're losing your peace on anything, ask the Lord to help me get settled back on the rock again. Because he will establish our goings if we will let him. There is another song. What are things that can establish my going? You know what? The Lord has sent something to Sister Maxine to help establish her going. He sends things into our lives. What will he send to us? And you know what? I don't think this that was sent to her was just to establish her going. It was also to establish every one of us that, you know what? It is safe for us to put our hand in God's no matter what trouble comes our way. And the peace that can come from it when I consecrate myself fully to God, no matter what comes or goes, Lord, I put my hand in yours. Now, here's a song number 456. Verse 1, because you know, we're going to have some dark times come to us also. There was no promise that it wouldn't. The promise was that he would go with us through it. That first verse, Christian, when thy way seems darkest and thine eyes with tears are dim, straight to God thy Father hastening, tell thy sorrows unto him. Not to human ear confiding thy sad tale of grief and care, but before thy Father kneeling, pour out all your sorrows there. Then it says in that last verse, for too well thy Savior loves thee to allow thy life to be one long, calm, unbroken summer, one unruffled, stormless sea. You know, we'd love that. I signed up as a Christian, and you know what? We wouldn't have enough benches in here if when you got saved, and we could advertise it, you got saved, you'll have no troubles. You won't have money troubles. You won't have neighbor troubles. You won't have car troubles. Every trouble is gone to the Christian. And then something would have to happen different for us when we advertise it, because then our car won't start or trouble comes to us. Well, what he does is this one says he's not. If he gave us those things, apparently from this verse, it talks like it wouldn't be too good for us. For too well thy Savior loves thee to allow thy life to be one long, calm, unbroken summer, one unruffled, stormless sea. Here's what he wants. He would have thee fondly nestle. Well, you know what? Trouble sure does that to us too. It causes us to head to that rock that is higher than we are. I need you, Lord. He would have thee fondly nestle closer to his loving breast. He would have that world seem brighter, where alone is perfect rest. You know how troubles can do that? We say, well, it's the old folks that need to start thinking about heaven. But you know what? We can have enough troubles go through our life that we can start thinking, you know what? The scripture says there'll be no trouble in heaven. There'll be no pain in heaven. And it starts looking pretty good. There's a verse in 1 Peter. First Peter in the 5:5-10. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, and that doesn't have to be just an affliction, just some trouble that comes into my life that draws me to him. After you have suffered a while, remember what are we talking about? Establishing our going. Suffering must do that. After you have suffered a while, he'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know what? That is the definition of where he establishes our going, is to set and fix firmly, to settle permanently. Suffering, it says, is able to do that, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, I think suffering is intended for us to drive another pile down to bedrock that makes our experience more solid than ever of walking with God. You know, the children of Israel did what I would want to do. They had a request. They were sick and tired of manna. You know, I can say manna nourished them for all those years. Why did they complain? But what food would you pick, just one food, that you love the most? But don't be very quick in saying it, because you're going to eat it for the next 40 years by itself. I can't think of what it. I mean, even somebody that says, I love health food, I love spinach. Well, not for 40 years. They had manna given to them, and they had a request. Cannot the Lord supply meat? Can there not be any meat around here that we could have? And it says he gave them their request, but it cost them. He sent leanness to their soul. You know, I find with that, it's a danger for me to tell God what I want. It says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. But you know what? I need to realize how valuable it is that God looks at my wants and he looks at eternity and says, it'll send leanness to your soul if I give it to you. Because there's some verses like Psalms 84 and 11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I love that verse. But wait a minute, I'm a Christian, and that seems like there's some good things that are being withheld from me. But you know what? When I step over into eternity, if I can make heaven my home, it'll say, right was the pathway leading to this. The things that you sent in my life were good things. Because here it says in Psalms 119 and 71, it's good for me that I had been afflicted. It's good for me that troubles came into my life, because they do something for me that nothing else will do. And these troubles are not just sicknesses. That we can have all kind of troubles come into our life. But it's a good thing for me that I'd been afflicted. Because what it did was, these troubles are designed to drive us to God. That I want to lead me to that rock that is higher than I. There's another song that we sing, number 180. You know, a lot of these songs tell about trouble. But you know what it is? That this author of these songs has gone through it and come out on the other side. It says, third verse, though in trial I suffer, he keeps me content. Now that's something, to be able to have peace and contentment in the middle of it. He sees before me the dangers prepared, and in mercy his wisdom the flames may have sent, that my soul greater woe might be spared. You know, we can be in a trouble and say, there's nothing could be worse than this. There are some things that could be worse than that. If there's something else that it could affect my soul, it's worse than any temporal problem that I have. Just to know that he knows, that my Lord understands, and his look of compassion to see. It soothes the pain in my heart. It's a balm for my wounds, bringing comfort and peace unto me. He establishes my going. And there's one more pillar that I'd like for us to talk about for just a little bit that we need to have established. Over in 2 Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye not soon be shaken in mind or trouble, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. Well, what's he talking about that could give that much trouble? What could shake you that much? Here's what it is. As that the day of Christ is at hand. And so when we think about the end of time, this says drive a pillar down that you can be solid and not shaken concerning the day that the Lord will come again. Why is that? You know, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, tells us there's going to be scoffers in the last day saying, where is the sign of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, things have just continued like they were from the beginning. You know, I'm almost 65 years old now, and as far back as I can remember, there were ministers saying, the end is very near. You know, I need to be, Don't be shaken in mind or spirit or word about this, because it's coming. It's coming for all of us. It's coming for me. To have my goings established, I need to look at the other side of 2 Peter 3. After the scoffers got through with it, in the 11th verse of 2 Peter 3, it says, because I haven't been shaken, I still understand my end is coming, or the end of all things is coming, one or the other for me. 11th verse, seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know what? If I forget, like the five foolish virgins did, they knew the bridegroom was coming, but they got busy with other things. It just didn't seem like it would happen right away. Well, we can do that same thing about my end or the end of all things. This says, since I've driven a pillar down and I know my end is coming, you know, it ought to affect my life. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Look at the 14th verse. Here's another one. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, not soon shaken. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'm going to liken him unto a man that built his house on a rock. I want us all to build. Let's drive some pillars down that no matter what the world says about it, I have convictions in my life that I'm building on. And when I start slipping from those and I have some troubles come into my life, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I want him to set my feet upon a rock. I'd like for us to close with another song. It's song number 266. And it's a question, and I don't think it's just for sinners. It says, are you building on the rock? You know, I can be building on the rock today, and something come into my life tomorrow that I start slipping into my own opinions. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. You know what? I can lean to my own understanding and start slipping off the rock. And then I need to just go back and say, I don't lean to my own understanding. Lord, it looks like it ought to go this way, but I commit it into your hands because you can see tomorrow and I can't. So as we sing that song, are you building on the rock? And as we go out of here and through our life this next week, let's take a look at the things that come into my life and make sure that the Lord can help me establish my goings and make sure my feet are solid on the rock. Maybe we can stand and sing number 266.